It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hello again. Welcome to Border Crossings Live for another hour. We have a special guest in our studios, and he is on tour currently for his latest album, which is called Willoughby. And we'd like to welcome John Batdorf to the studios. We'll be talking to John. He'll be playing some music for us, talk about the new album and some of his storied past. Stick around. John Batdorf is here on Border Crossings. Welcome to Border Crossings. Today on the show, we would like to welcome to our studios a gentleman who's been on tour for many years as a part of Batdorf and Rodney, but today we have the solo John Batdorf in our studios, recording solo music these days. His new album is called Willoughby, and he's here in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the Voice of America.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Batdorf. Where's the origin of that? Is that German?
German,
that's
yes.
That's what I thought. Batdorf. Yes. You ever been to Germany?
I have not, but I have begun to meet a lot of Batdorfs. They come to my gigs now.
They come and say, guess what? We're related.
Yes. And they also bring me Batdorf and Bronson coffee. I don't know what that is, but that's my new thing.
So you have established quite a career over the years. You've done so many different things and done them all so well. You're a songwriter. You're a singer, performer. You've written themes for TV shows. And I guess you appeared in a documentary about yourself.
I've done pretty much everything you could possibly do.
Amazing.
Well, you know, it's you just kind of get to the end of one road and you find the next road you go down, go on that road till, you know, It ends and you go to the next one.
And so the new album is called Willoughby. Why is it called Willoughby?
Well, it's called Next Stop Willoughby, and it's actually based on an old Twilight Zone episode that I saw when I was a kid. And it's about a guy who lives in New York, advertising agency, and he's so stressed out at his work, and his wife stresses him out, and he gets on this train and falls asleep. He's supposed to go on a business trip. And he falls asleep and wakes up in this place he's never heard of, and he looks outside, and there's a park. People are on bicycles, and you know, people holding fish, and there's a band playing. And he looks at the conductor, and he goes, "What is this place?" And he says, "It's Willoughby." And he ends up going there eventually in the end. And so my wife and I lived in Southern California since I lived there since 67. She was born there. And she also loved that show. And when we found our new home, which is now in Central Oregon, and we live in a place called Eagle Crest, and it's the most beautiful place. It's a 2,000 home planned community. And when we drove up to this place, which is out kind of in the middle of nowhere, I looked at my wife and said, "This is Willoughby. We found Willoughby." So eventually I wrote the song about it.
Wow. To get a name for an album, get inspired from the Twilight Zone?
Yeah, and I just did a video up there, and we have some opening clips from the Twilight Zone on there from the just to make sure people knew what it was about. And we had a little delay because we had so many fires up there. Mm-hmm. We had one shot to do left. It was a drone shot, and you couldn't see the ground from 10 feet above, so we had to wait till it cleared. And so we got it done, and it's on my website, and that's the title song. It's called Willoughby.
Mm-hmm. What's the website so people can go check it out?
It's johnbatdorfmusic.com.
All right. I posted it up on our Facebook page as well. But so you were a teenager, and you were living in Ohio, and then you decided, we're going to L.A. And so you got into a car with a whole bunch of friends.
Uh-huh.
I mean, how does a teenager just decide, I'm leaving and I'm going to the other side of the country? How did that come about?
Well, I've been in bands pretty much my whole life. And I always got plucked out of bands by pretty much older guys because I was really far past most guys my age. And in 1967, there was a band called The Loved Ones that was a really big band in the Dayton area. And they asked me if I'd want to join. They were going to go to California and try to get a record deal. And it was a brother and a sister and four other guys. So we got into a Lincoln Continental with the mother of the brother and sister and the other brother, who was the manager, with a big U-Haul. And we drove cross country, which was supposed to be for 3 months. And I was supposed to come back and go to my sophomore year at Beaver Creek High School. And when I got there, I knew that's where I had to be. So I told my mom I wasn't coming back.
Wow. And I bet you had $25 in your pocket. I've heard that story. Didn't Madonna, same story. And Linda Ronstadt, same story. Many people have, you know, as a teenager, made a bold move. And it's paid off for you.
Oh, it has. I mean, I can't imagine what my life would have been if I hadn't done that. I mean, it was a big deal. I was 15. The band broke up. And so we had no supervision. I just kept telling my mom, I'll go to school. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm living in really good conditions. And I'm eating well. And none of it was actually true. But, I mean, 3 years later, I had my deal with Atlantic for Badger and Rodney. So, you know, it's just the path you follow. Mm-hmm. It could have been a dead end, but it wasn't. It turned out to be a really great
and
road.
How did you meet Mark Rodney?
Well, by chance, we were I lived with had a runaway girlfriend from Las Vegas. She was 16 and a half. I was, you know, 17 and a half. That's when we called halves, you know, we were 16 mm-hmm. And so we lived together for about a year and a half, and I worked as a waiter to pay the bills. But I was still doing music at night. And I told her, I said, you know, I really can't do this anymore. I have to do music full time. So she goes, well, why don't we move to Las Vegas and move in with my parents, the one she had just run away from a year and a half ago. And so I knew that they were Jehovah's Witnesses. And I thought, well, okay, we'll see how that goes. So we drive there and pull up. And, you know, it probably wasn't the catch they'd hoped for.
Right.
But they were happy to see their daughter, and she was safe. But I won them over by singing for them. They had cocktail hour at 5 o'clock, and I'd sing songs for them. Then all of a sudden, I was okay. So I got this gig at the University of Las Vegas, and I worked in a coffee shop. I worked behind the counter, sold drinks on the breaks, and then played four sets a night. And this guy kept coming in, and he was a really kind of a shady looking guy. And it turned out he was Mark Rodney, and he kept wanting to jam with me. And I said, you know, I don't want to jam with anybody. I'm a solo act. I've had it with bands. So finally we jammed one night, And it was really, really an unbelievable night.
The chemistry was there.
Yep. So I said, look, I got all these songs, man. So we spent the whole summer in 1970 working on my songs. And then by the fall, we were so tight and so ready. I said, we need to go to L.A. and we need to try to get a hold of Ahmet Erdogan, who I knew from Atlantic Records, and trying to get an audition with him. So we went to L.A. and we slept on the floor at this guy's house. It wasn't even his house. It was somebody else's house. And I picked up the phone and I called the Beverly Hills Hotel where Ahmet stayed. And he picked up. And I said, hey, Ahmet, this is John Batdorf. And I got this new thing I'd love you to see. He said, oh, come on over tomorrow. So we went over there to the Beverly Hills Hotel, this bungalow. And it's in the front room. He was signing the Stones to the record deal at that time.
Wow.
And so all the other people got pushed back in other rooms. So we were back in this bedroom waiting for Ahmet to come in. It was like a doctor's office, you know. And so he comes in, and we start playing the song Oh My Surprise, which is the first song on the first Batdorf and Rodney record. And he literally jumped up off the bed and said, I want to sign you. I want to sign you. I want to take you to Muscle Shoals, and I want to produce the record. So we thought, okay, that was good. So
wow.
That's how it started. And
that's
we went
fantastic.
Down to Muscle Shoals and cut this great album with these great players. And just kind of been moving forward ever since.
Well, maybe you can play us a song now so we can hear what it sounded like back when Ahmet Erdogan got to hear you in his hotel room.
Yeah, you know, it is different, you know, and that's why I love doing small little unplugged shows, because it really is like stripping it down to the basics.
Right.
So I like to do a song. I've been married to my wife, Melanie, for 44 years now.
Wow. Congratulations.
And, thank you. And this is one of the first solo songs that I recorded on my very first solo CD. And it's about finding your perfect match. It's called Me and You.
Two nights, one dream, 2 days with one awakening. Two minds learn something new where there's just one, me and you. Two hearts, one beat to try to make someone complete. To think one thought is true where there's just one, me and you. Never thought the life was adding up too much, traveling the solitary path. Well, I was so divided till I felt your touch, and then I learned love's new math. To sing one song, to find one place where they belong, to see one awesome view where there's just one, me and you. Some things are forever, some are to ride and true. Some things just define how it should be. Some things never change, like one in one or two. There's just one, you and me. Two flowers, one vase, two lives lived as one because two souls know one thing's true. Where there's just one, me and you. More than all the stars in the skies above, we can count the ways that we can count upon our love. Well, no one would ever feel down if they had what we have found. Two words describe one heart that no one can divide. Two words defining love that's true. Well, those words, me and you. Two smiles, one laugh, to feel they found their other half. Tonight, one love shines through where there's just one. There's just one, me and you, me and you.
Wow. Sounding great. Oh,
thank you, Matt.
John Baddorf, live here in our studios on The Voice of America. And so I know, you know, I read that you have written songs for, you know, Touched by an Angel, the TV show, and some other great TV shows, animated TV show, and Guardians of the Galaxy, the new film.
Well, what happened was, after Baddorf and Rodney disbanded in 75, I formed a new band called Silver. And because we still had to deal with the Arista Records, and we had a song in the can that the record company president had given us, who was Clive Davis at the time, and it was called Wham Bam Shang-a-Lang. And it was like, it was really difficult for me to sing, even though I was still 24. You know, I tried to build some kind of musical integrity, and here we have this song. And so we put this single out, and it got to number 16 in the nation. And we went out and toured with America and John Sebastian, and it was really great. And then the band broke up after a year because of, it was a band, you know, bands break
That's
up.
That's what they do.
That's what they do. The only reason they form is to break up.
To break up.
So I was, last year I was in up in upstate New York, and someone sent me an email with a Rolling Stone link to it. And I go, why on earth would someone send me this link? So I went to sleep, woke up the next day, had some coffee, read this link, and I was reading about this new movie called Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And I didn't even know there was a Guardians of the Galaxy 1. So I thought, well, what the heck? Why am I getting this? So here's the producer talking about the songs they pick. And I guess there's a 70s mixtape that they play during the show. I'm looking now, My Sweet Lord, Hey There, Mr. Blue Sky, Brandy, You're a Fire and Girl. I mean, all these monster
classics,
hits.
Classics, yeah.
And then I see Wham Bam Shang-a-Lang by Silver. And I went, what the heck? It was 41 years ago.
Right.
And supposedly he heard the song because he had somebody out looking for songs. There's so many great songs from that era. And he heard and he got thought, wow, this doesn't really, this sounds like a new version of the 70s sound. He said, no, this was the original version. He'd never heard it before, but he loved the songs. This will work great in the movie. So there you go. You never know, man.
Can I throw you a curveball?
Sure.
Can you do a little bit of one of the songs you wrote for a TV show? I'd love to see if you can refresh our memory about, like, Phineas and Ferb or something that Garfield or one of the shows that you've written something for.
Well, when I wrote stuff for TV shows, I did scoring. Mm-hmm. I did orchestral scoring. Mm-hmm. I sang on Tom and Jerry Kids. I didn't write it, but I sang on it. Mm-hmm. Garfield and Friends, sang on Darkwing Duck. And it's funny, I have grandchildren now, and they love the Tom and Jerry Kids. Gotta be there where all the action is. Tom and Jerry Kids, the Tom and Jerry Kids new show.
Wow, there it is. It's a Sunday morning at my house. There you go.
They thought I was it because I sang that song.
And there you went from Tom and Jerry to singing with Adele.
Yes, yes. To Wham Bam, man.
To Wham Bam.
You never know, man.
So tell me about Adele. I mean, how did that all come together? You sang in the Oscars.
I did 2 years ago when she was up for Best Song for Let the Sky Fall. And I got a call from a contractor and wanted to know if I would be interested in performing with 29 other men for a men's choir for Adele. I go, where do I sign?
Yes.
So we rehearsed all week and we went there and it was really an unbelievable experience for me. I mean, I've done so many different kind of things, and to be on stage at the Oscars, and we weren't allowed to take pictures. I wish I would have, though. It was
sure.
So magnificent. We were behind these crystal curtains and her band was right in front of us. And when the song was over, they turned on the house and everybody stood up and there's Adele, you know, and I thought, wow, this is a Kodak moment.
Right.
For sure, but I can't do it.
And
so
George Clooney staring at you.
It was, yeah.
All so, these famous stars.
So wow. We were on these risers, and the only thing I can think about, don't trip when you're walking off stage.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was fun.
Did you get to know her at all?
She was very, very nice to us. Yeah. We weren't hanging out, but she was very, very nice to us. Very nice woman.
So how's this tour going for you? I mean, you've been touring for many, many years. You're 5 decades now. So how's the tour?
Well, you know, I really only started touring again back in 2004.
Cause you took time off?
Took a long break.
Oh, okay.
I became a studio singer. That's where I did all those gigs. Mm-hmm. Had twin boys. Then became a composer for Promised Land, which is the spinoff of Touched by an Angel, which is a really great show.
Another big show.
And then when that show ended, they kept me on at on the Touched by an Angel show because they needed source music. So I wrote, like, stuff was on the jukebox. They would put in famous songs. They didn't want to pay for the famous songs. So I would write, you know, kind of knockoffs that were kind of like that and bring in singers.
Right.
It was a fun gig. Mm. And then, you know, it was like 4 years of that. And then I went on to do a couple of movies. It was a Book of Days, and I did Best 2 Years. And then I get a call from a guy, James Lee Stanley, that I knew from the 70s. And he said that he was doing some record. He wanted to know if I'd be interested in doing it with him. It was called All Wood and Stones. And it was early takes of Rolling Stones songs, done kind of like acoustic, like if Crosby, Stills, and Nash had done them. So I said, well, I got some time, man. You know, he says, it'll only take a month, we'll be done, you know. And so it took 7 months because it really got really good. And the TV thing kind of wasn't panning out, so we put this record out. And before you know it, radio stations were playing it like crazy because obviously there were monster hits on the record. And people started asking us to go out and play. And I asked my wife, I said, gosh, you know, the kids are 18. I never really planned on ever going back out on the road again, but, you know, it might be kind of fun. So I did my first house concert right before we started touring. And it was this magical night in Malibu. A guy was a fan. His whole family was a fan of Batdorf and Rodney. It was the first time I'd really been on stage because I was a studio guy for years. You know that, is you? Hey, stop. I got to pick this up. Well, live, you don't pick it up. You just keep going. So I was on this little riser, and it was 85 people. It was an unplugged thing. And as soon as I started playing the first song, everyone in the audience started singing the songs. And it was like, wow, I have to do more. This is really cool. I've forgotten how much I missed that. Because you become such a technician, you know?
Right, right.
You don't have the human contact thing. So started doing it. And so here we are 13 years later, and I'm still out there playing. And
that's great.
Yeah, it is great.
Well, the music business is happy to have you back. Oh. And John Batdorf is in our studios. Would you do another song for us?
Yeah, I would like to tune up here for you. In 2006, I found out that one of my sons was addicted to methamphetamine. And we had lost all touch with him, the relationship that we'd been there every step of the way with him. And we thought as parents we did everything right. I was a baseball coach because I was at home. I was working at home. I did a baseball coach for them for 10 years, which is really 20 seasons. My wife was always active in the PTA, stay-at-home mom. And then this happened. And, you know, we were from the Summer of Love 67 era. That's when I went to California. So I thought, well, we should be able to handle this thing. Well, we couldn't. It was way beyond. And the relationship was so diminished. And we had this idea that I remember when I was a kid, when I didn't have parents, I used to listen to all these great songwriters of that era and learned a lot about kind of what I wanted to be as a man when I grew up and what path I would take in life. And I thought, I know it's a million years later, and I'm, you know, but what if there was a song written for him to let him know that we know what he's going through? So we wrote this song called I Don't Always Win. And I picked him up, got in the car with him, and I said, hey, I got this new song I just wrote, not saying anything about what it was about. And there was this kind of this magical moment where you could tell like one of the bricks had fallen out of the wall because he knew exactly what it was. And it was just to reach a kid, a millennial, with a song where he probably has heard this stuff from counselors or other people, hearing it in song was so powerful. So my songwriting partner and I, Michael McLean, we made this album called Soundtracks to Recovery. And we thought that if my son can be affected, there's got to be others that this could reach. And I know it's not for everybody, but if it works for one person, 10 people, it matters. So we had people who really liked the idea donated a website to us. It's called, it's the number 2recovery.org, where we talk about the project. We have music videos, and we offer the music for free to anybody that would like to download it. And Michael and I play at recovery conferences. And we think, and we talked about it in the video on the website, that we think that we met 23 years ago to make this project. We just didn't know. Because a lot of the songs we wrote, we wouldn't even know where we were writing songs. We just loved writing songs. But what are we going to do with it?
Right.
Well, we found out. So this is the first song called I Don't Always Win. I'd be a liar if I said that I'm all right. There's no denying that I'm better than I've been. But every hour I'm alone, it's still a fight. The But I don't always win. No need to tell me what will happen if I lose. I know the hell that will await me once again. But it's a battle that's the reason for these blues. That I don't always win. No, I don't always win. Such a sweet companion when I feel abandoned, keeps poisoning this canyon called my life. So where will you be when I go another round? Have you decided yet whose corner you'll be in? If it's a champion you think you might have found, well, I don't always win. Still that sweet companion when I feel abandoned, keeps poisoning this canyon called my life. Denying that I'm better than I've been. But every hour that I'm alone, it's still a fight that I don't always win. No, I don't always win.
Very, very nice.
Thank you.
That's very lovely. Is that hard to sing?
It is hard to sing, yes.
I can tell that you're very emotional. Yep. You know, you put your heart into that song, and I'm sure that as a songwriter, all of these songs are personal, very personal.
Oh,
they come from
doubt.
Different personal places throughout your life. And I was reading where a fan of yours had come up to you maybe back in 1970 and said that they'd lost a child in the war, and that inspired you to write a
yes.
song?
That was, well, actually, what happened was I was at a fundraiser for someone, and they asked Michael McLean and I to perform at it, and we did three songs. One of the songs was called All For You, which is a song about an unknown soldier who was in a battle, knew he was going to lose, and these were his final thoughts and what he'd want to share with his friends, family, and country. And it's always a hard song to sing. There's songs that are very difficult to sing just because they're so emotional, and you cannot think about it when you're singing. So we did it, and at the end of the show, I put the gear away, and this older couple was at the stage, and they wanted to say hi. So I always go over and talk to them, and they handed me this bracelet, this silver bracelet. And I said, well, what is this? And they said, this is what the Army sends you when you lose a family member in the war. And as his name, I go, God, I cannot take this. This was like one of those, you know, unbelievable moments. I said, I really can't. And they go, no, that song was so powerful. We want you to have this. And so it's in my studio. I look at it every day. And their son died in 1970, just when I had signed my record deal. And that's why music, that's what music is really all about.
Right.
I mean, you know, although I like getting paid, I've never really done it for the money. It's always been for the passion and saying stuff you want to say and you know, having some come up to you and say, you know, I've never cried before with a song, but this song made me cry. Or the best one I had was I lost my virginity listening to your first album. Okay, well, that's a lot of information.
Well, I mean, you know, you use your music for healing your fans. It's also helped to heal you. I understand that you wanted to be a baseball player. That was a dream you grew up with as a small child, and you faced the reality at some point that that wasn't going to happen.
Well, yeah, a lot to do with I love sports. I was 11 and or 10 years old. I won the punt, pass, and kick contest in Ohio. Went back the next year, and my leg was hurting, and I wasn't feeling well. And I came in third. I thought, gosh, I don't know what's wrong. And then this fever got worse and worse. And so I got rushed to emergency because I couldn't even walk. And they found out I had osteomyelitis, which is an infection of the bone marrow. And the only way they can actually cure it is to stabilize it and treat it with antibiotics. So I was in a body cast, three different body casts for 10 months, laying on my back. It was from my chest all the way down to my toe. So sports was kind of out of the picture at that point. And, you know, I'd been playing music when I was younger, but I really wanted to be a baseball player. I love baseball. I still do love baseball. And so what we had this one room where we all sat and watched TV, and I was in my hospital bed. And it was 64 when the Beatles came on. And I'd heard a little bit of the record, and my dad always wanted me to be a country musician. I said, yeah, that's really kind of not me. So I saw them on TV, and I thought, well, I could be that kind of musician. And so from that point on, all I wanted to do was write songs. And so a few years ago, I wrote a song for my album that came out in 2015 called Beep Beep, which is a kind of a tribute to the Beatles. And it's funny, I was sitting there, I always write with a guitar lick first, and I get a melody, and then I think, what's this about, you know? And I kept listening and listening, and I heard this first line, I got the fever back in 64, ain't felt nothing like it since, nothing like it before. I go, I know what this is about. So if you like, I'd like to close with that.
That would be great.
I got the fever back in 64, ain't felt nothing like it since, nothing like it before. That night when Lennon sang Twist and Shout, we knew what the Beatles were all about. They wrote songs that made us feel so fine. We heard them singing, and that just blew our minds. They made believers of us all that night. We let go when they sang Hold Me Tight. These boys could write, these boys could sing, these boys could play almost everything. They'd sing their songs that made the young girls scream and cry. So all the boys bought a guitar and tried to sing real high. Beep, 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 yeah.
John Batdorf, jamming here on Border Crossings, getting down. Wow, it's been a pleasure to have you in our studios and to meet you. And what a great story. And I know you've written songs for Kim Carnes and America and shared a stage with Rod Stewart and Metallica. And you've done it all, everything in between, and continued success to you. Thank you so much for coming in. Where can people read about your tour stops and your new album? What's your website address? It's Facebook, all that stuff.
It's johnbatdorfmusic.com, and all the links to all the other websites are there, including the torecovery.org, which is the recovery thing. And I'm easy to find. I'm not on the witness protection list.
And it's Next Stop Willoughby.
Yeah, Next Stop Willoughby. Just came out about 6 months ago.
All right. Well, come back and see us.
I'd love to. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John Batdorf. It's been our guest. I'm Larry London, and this is Border Crossings.
Tilted stage, the role you made me play, the fool. No, I don't like you. I don't like your perfect crime, how you laugh when you lie. You said the gun was mine, isn't cool. No, I don't like you. Check it once, then I check it twice. Oh, ooh, look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me. Ooh, look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. I don't like your kingdom keys. They once belonged to me. You asked me for a place to sleep. Locked me out and threw a feast.
What?
The world moves on another day, another drama, drama. But not for me, not for me. All I think about is karma. And then the world moves on, but one thing's for sure. Maybe I got mine, but you'll all get yours. But I got smarter, I got harder in the nick of times. I rose up from the dead, I do it all the times. I've got a list of names and yours is in red underlined. Check it once, then I check it twice. Oh, ooh, look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. I don't trust nobody and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams. I don't trust nobody and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams. I don't trust nobody and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams. I don't trust nobody and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams.
I'm sorry, the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. Why? She's dead.
Ooh, look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do.
Border Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the yard, and I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart. Vampires walking through the valley, move west down Ventura Boulevard, and all the bad boys are standing in the shadow, and the good girls are home with broken hearts.
Crossing's Voice of America, as we look back on some of the music left to us by one of the greats in rock, Tom Petty, who played the Super Bowl halftime show a number of years ago. Tom Petty
great.
Passed away early this morning at the age of 66. TMZ reported yesterday that he had cardiac arrest, full cardiac arrest. He was found at home unconscious and unresponsive. We don't have a lot of information, so I'm assuming, and it's never a good thing to do, but I'm assuming he was in the hospital. They were trying to revive him, keep him alive as long as
they
could.
Yeah, they had no brain activity, and the family had a do not resuscitate order.
Right. So ultimately, in the end, we lost Tom Petty at the age of 66.
I was a mess yesterday. First the Las Vegas shooting, and then Tom Petty. It's a good thing we weren't trying to do this yesterday, because I don't think I would have been up to it.
It's amazing that, you know, the news, just, you know, it's a lot for human beings to take in all this stuff.
Oh, so I mean, much bad news.
One tragedy and disaster after another.
Yeah.
It's just overwhelming. But Tom Petty will be mourned. You know, rest in peace. That was Free Falling from one of Tom's catalog of big hits.
Such a great performer. I saw him a few times. Yeah, he really was charismatic.
And before Tom Petty, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
We had a request from Albert Einstein, who also has passed away. Albert Einstein, the genius, not the listener.
Well, it's all relative.
It is. Relativity. But Albert Einstein requested Taylor Swift and Look What You Made Me Do. This is Border Crossings, and we've got Ray McDonald in our studios, which means it's Tuesday.
Yeah, and I have a really hot hit here for you to start off with. Post Malone and 21 Savage are your hotshot debuts on this week's Hot 100. They start out at number 2 with a song called Rockstar, and Post is kind of a slow-burning success story on the charts. We'll catch up with him after Rockstar.
Popping, man, I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. When we call up on the and show up, man, them the shot toss. When my homies pull up on your block, they make that thing go gratatata. Hey, hey, switch my whip, came back in black, I'm starting saying rest in peace to Bon Scott. Though we blowing smoke, she asked me light a fire like I'm awesome. Ay. Act a fool on stage, probably leave my show in a cup cock. It was legendary through a TV out the window of the montage. On the table, look a porn, don't give a damn. Don't your girlfriend is a groupie, she just tryna get in. Saying I'm with the band. Ay, ay. Now she acting out of pocket, tryna grab. I've been popping, popping, man, I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. When we call up on the and show up, man, them the shot toss. When my homies pull up on your block, they make that thing go gratatata.
I've been in the hills, superstars, feeling like a pop star. Drinking Henny bad, jumping in the pool and I ain't got on no bra. Hit her front or back, pulling on the tracks and now she screaming out no more. They like Savage, why you got a 12 car garage and you only got 6 cars? I ain't with the cake and how you kiss that? Your wifey say I'm looking like a whole snap. Green honey's in my safe, I got old racks. LA is always asking where the. Yeah. Living like a rock star, smash out on a cop car, sweeter than a pop tart. You know you are not hard. I done made a hot chart. Remember I used to chop hard. Living like a rock star, I'm living like a rock star.
I've been popping, popping, man, I feel just like a rock star. All my brothers got that gas and they always be smoking like a rock star. When we call up on no. Yeah, show up, man, them the shot toss. When my homies pull up on your block, they make that thing go gratatata.
That thing's moving so fast. Post Malone and 21 Savage opening at number 2 on the Hot 100 with Rockstar. This is Post's biggest hit single yet. It's currently number 1 in Australia, and it set an Apple Music single week streaming record with 25 million streams. Post Malone, he's from Texas, and he says he likes to straddle different musical genres. He says his mother and father turned him on to all different kinds of music. His first album, Stony, has been out since last December. It's currently still in the top 10. It's platinum. He's got a second album coming up called Beer Bongs and Bentleys. That's Post Malone.
Congratulations.
So congratulations to Post and 21 Savage. Now, coming up on the outside, we have the latest Imagine Dragons single, Thunder. It moves from number 40 to number 30, so it's possible that we may see that in the top 20. Imagine Dragons is on a roll. We'll catch up with them after Thunder.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, thunder, thunder.
Thunder, feel the thunder, lightning and the
I like that. That's catchy. Imagine Dragons Thunder moving from number 40 to number 30. However, it's already number one on Billboard's digital songs chart. It's the band's first champ on that list. That means it's the best-selling song in the country right now. I like the way it incorporates hip-hop elements. Maroon 5 does that too. And these are two, I guess, quote-unquote rock bands that are adapting to the shifting musical scene very well. Very clever. Thunder moving from number 40 to number 30. Imagine Dragons launched its current tour on September 26th in Phoenix, Arizona. They were in Las Vegas just two nights before the horrific mass shooting on Sunday night. And of course, they are a Las Vegas-based band. And Dan Reynolds says he knows the city will bounce back because it has great character and great heart. Imagine Dragons will be in North America through November 16th. Then they take a end-of-year rest. They'll pick things up next February in Europe and the UK. And they're very popular in the United Kingdom. Imagine Dragons, all three of their albums have gone top three. So Imagine Dragons, doing well.
Night Visions was huge. That was the first one. That was huge.
That was their big breakthrough. And then their second album, Smoke and Mirrors, well, that went to number one in the UK.
Right.
Here in the United States, it wasn't quite as successful. Dan Reynolds, they went on tour. Dan was struggling with depression. So that set them back a little bit. He says he's doing fine now, and I think they've clawed back a lot of momentum with the Evolve album.
All right. Well, thank you, Ray McDonald, the host of the Billboard Top 20 Countdown Thursdays on the VOA 1 Music Network, and every Tuesday it's Chart Chat. So thank you for coming in and keeping us updated.
Many
I want to say hello to Dean Landers from Kuwait, who just checked in. Amon Amarth from Misrata, Libya. Yannick Andre, who is listening in Romania. And J.C. Saul, who also checked into Border Crossings. Thank you very much for tuning in and checking out our Facebook page. Also want to say hello to Israel Martins, who said hi. Ria Lorvin, Reem Al-Katan, all listening to Border Crossings today. Thank you very much for joining us. Again, thank you to our guest, John Bettendorf, who was on the show during the first half of the program. I'm Larry London, and I thank Wagner Engineer, Vince, our director. Again, thanks to Ray, Chart Chat. We'll see you tomorrow at 1500 Universal. And Felicia, don't forget to thank Felicia, too. Tomorrow at 1500, more requests and dedications. This is Border Crossings on the VOA 1 Music Network.